Hello and welcome to Piner High School. I'm Nick Mattis, along with my right-hand man, the star of the show, Jeff Woodworth. Tonight we've got a huge matchup. The undefeated 7-0 Piner Prospectors are hosting the El Molino Lions, 3 wins and 3 losses. And this tonight is a big night for Piner. It's their homecoming game. Piner Prospectors are coming to this game with 6 shutouts out of their first 7 games. Jeff, we got to watch them a couple weeks ago shut out the Annalee Tigers 41-0, the first time they had defeated the Tigers since 2004. And this team is unbelievable.
This is definitely going to be a season that Piner will look back on with great reverence. Right now, they're outscoring their opponents 397-14. It's quite astounding, honestly. Seven wins, they're not looking back. They're off to a strong start in league, and I'm excited to see what Piner can do against Elmo. I believe this is going to be one of the harder tests they're going to have this year.
Well, Piner last week demolished Healdsburg 60-0, and El Molino started their first game in the Redwood League, and they got upset by Santa Rosa in a really great ball game. It went into overtime, and Santa Rosa lost. Santa Rosa defeated El Molino 50-44. In that game, quarterback Weston Lewis for El Molino had a wonderful game, scored 6 touchdowns, and we're going to talk a lot about the players to watch in this game. But we've got Michael Baribault joining us right now. How you doing, Michael?
Doing all right. You know, this is my first time being at Piner High School under the lights. You know, Piner, when I played, did not have lights, and we would always come here and play on Saturday afternoon. So I'm glad that the community is out here in full force. We're going to have a nice big crowd, and it's homecoming senior night. It's going to be a good night here at Piner.
Yeah, we've got plenty of time here on our pregame show. It's an extended one because we've got the seniors on the field, and it's homecoming, and so that's going to give us a chance, guys. Why don't we start out talking a little bit about our top 10? We've been formulating our own top 10 at KSRO. And Jeff, why don't you give us the top 10 that we have here for the week of October 5th?
At number 10, we have Middletown at 4-2. Number 9, Willits sitting at 5-1. Number 8 is Justin Siena at 6-1. Number 7, you have Napa High at 4-2. And then at number 6, you have Rancho Cotati sitting there at 3-3. Number 5 is Windsor at 5-1. Piner, who we're going to see play tonight, sitting here at 4 at 7-0. Then you have American Canyon at 3, 7-0. Vintage at number 2 at 5-1. And then sitting atop our power rankings, number 1, Cardinal Newman at 5-1.
Yeah, and we got some really big games tonight. The Godfather Joe Pasquini is going to keep an eye on those games. I think the number 1 matchup is in the Vine Valley League. Number 2, Vintage, taking on number 3, American Canyon. And you mentioned American Canyon. They're the only other team in our area that's 7-0 besides the Piner Prospectors. So that ought to be an interesting showdown. And then last week we did Rancho Cotati and Cardinal Newman. And Rancho Cotati's got 2 consecutive defeats, and they're playing a really tough game tonight at Windsor. That'll be a game we'll keep a close eye on.
And guys, I find that game most interesting because that's a loser-leaves-town game as far as I'm concerned with Rancho Cotati. If you lose that game, you're done for the season. Windsor, it's a way to distinguish yourself amongst the division and carry that momentum into the playoffs. Vice versa, if Windsor loses, I feel like that's the type of loss that could disrupt what they've got going this season, and this could be the type of win that would spark a change for Rancho Cotati moving forward.
And that could knock Windsor out of the playoff bracket if they lose that game. They're sitting about 5 or 6 right now. Now with the new divisions, you're only carrying 8 teams. That's a loss that can knock them out of the playoff bracket.
Yeah. I'm going to play devil's advocate and say that the game could be a worse loss for Rancho Cotati. Windsor still gets a chance to play Cardinal Newman. And if they lost tonight and played Cardinal Newman and knocked off Cardinal Newman, I think that would elevate their status quite a bit. So I don't think it's as important as it is for Windsor. Rancho, this is a must-win. They've already lost 2 in a row to Campo and to Cardinal Newman. For them to drop 3 consecutive games, that might kick them out of the the standings there. So we'll keep an eye on that. Then we've got a couple of other pretty good matchups. Lower Lake and Willits. Willits moved into our top 10 this week. They're number 9. And that should be a very good contest. Lower Lake earlier this season defeated El Molino. So they're not getting a lot of love. They're not in our top 10 or in our honorable mention. But a win over Willits tonight, and we're going to be taking a closer look at the Lower Lake Trojans. And then at number 10, Middletown, they're going to take on St. Helena. St. Helena is one of the teams that is in our honorable mention. They're doing very well. They only have one loss on the season, along with St. Vincent's, who's 6-1, and we put El Molino in honorable mention because they were in our top 10, and last week after their loss to Santa Rosa, we pushed them out of the top 10. So
I don't really want to fault a team for losing in overtime. It's especially when it gets to overtime, a lot of things can happen there that where the end result just doesn't end up going your way.
Yeah, and it's interesting you said that because what did happen in overtime was El Molino fumbled on their first attempt in overtime and Santa Rosa capitalized on it. So why don't we start breaking down El Molino a little bit? We did get a chance to see the Lions play a couple weeks ago against Annaly, first time they had beaten Annaly and after 8 consecutive losses, and they had a fantastic game that day. What stood out to me was their quarterback, Weston Lewis. And Weston, again, is the leader, the quarterback, just a junior. He hadn't played football last year. He had an injury, so he's coming back. And I think that he's just such a bright future for El Molino. Their JV team, they lost tonight, so they have consecutive losses, but they're 4-2 on the season, I think. Excuse me, 5-2 now after tonight. They have a good – their program looks like it's turning itself around, a lot like Piner's. And we got to see Weston Lewis against Annaly. He was superb. Last week against Santa Rosa, Weston had a fantastic game. 15 for 25 in passing the football. Rushed the ball 25 times for 213 yards. His total yards that he accounted for that night, 439. I mean, that's a pretty special night.
He is the center of their offense, and I mean, Piner's defense, I feel if they slow down Weston Lewis, it's going to come upon guys like Jalen Hall, DJ Ramalia, also the wide receivers like Cole Vanstone and Jackson Dunkel to step up. Dunkel had 7 receptions for 64 yards last game in the loss to Santa Rosa. So this is a team that can't get it done through the air, but they definitely make their money on the ground.
Yeah, no doubt about it there. I think what's going to be the key for me is when I'm looking at the athletes for both teams, they both have very good athletes. The question I'm going to find out is, does El Molino have the line to stay up with Piner? When we watched Piner play Annaly here a few weeks ago, I think we all agreed that the Piner offense and defensive line started imposing their will on the Annaly line. And by the fourth quarter, Annaly couldn't do anything. They couldn't throw the football. They were having a lot of trouble. And I'm wondering if El Molino has the hog mollies, right? In your words, Jeff, if they have the hog mollies to hold off the Piner team, because we know that Piner has some very good players. And Mike, I'm going to want your thoughts on that because you're an old ex-lineman and I know that's what you really focus on, okay?
You know, I say it every time we're on the air. The game is won in the trenches and it's going to be whoever is getting penetration off the ball. I'm interested to see who starts out with the ball and who doesn't, and who sets the tone. If El Molino comes out and scores on their first possession, Piner, I think, will be a little shell-shocked. And if they're dominating up front, and they're Piner defensive line, or offensive line, depending on where they're at, they'll kind of be like, hey, we haven't had this done to us before. You know, we're 7-0, and we haven't been really challenged. You know, we've won every game by 30-plus points, or however much it's been. So I think it's going to be key for El Molino to kind of you know, take the first punch, you know, as you like to say. You know, get on the board early and see what can happen, because you never know. It's high school football.
Yeah.
You never, ever know who may beat someone on any given day.
Yeah, I like that, Michael. That was very good. And we're talking boxing, too, now. We're mixing in football and boxing. But El Molino gets back their defensive end, Dawson Drew, tonight. He did not get a chance to play last week. So he's a junior, 6'4", 210 pounds. They're going to count on him. When you look at those other athletes, and we'll start with their offense, Jeff, you mentioned Jalen Hall, just 5'8", 165 pounds, and he had a great game last week against the Santa Rosa Panthers. He carried the football 14 times for 47 yards, but he also caught five passes and was the leading receiver last week for 58 yards, totaled over 105 yards in total offense. And we saw him against Stanley, and he's an extremely fast young man that's tough. I expect him and Weston to do the bulk of the carrying the football for them. They do count on their little running back, the junior DJ Ramilia, is going to come in there and spell Jalen Hall a little bit. But when you look at Jackson Dunkel, the wide receiver, he made some big plays against Stanley, 6 foot tall, can jump really well, very athletic. He's the principal's son, so I like to throw that in there because he's a really, really good young man. And then Cole Van Stone, he does, not only does he do the place kicking for them, and he's perfect on the season, but he's also a wide receiver with a lot of wheels. And then to round it out is Ryan Palmer. Ryan goes both ways for the Lions, 5'8", 160 pounds. Last week he did an excellent job against the Panthers in helping on defense, was the third leading tackler last week with 7 tackles. So they're going to count on their athletes to make some plays. But again, Michael, and I think you and Jeff and I both agree, it's going to be won and lost in the trenches for El Molino, because Piner has some very good two-way offensive and defensive linemen, and they're strong. We saw it with our own eyes. Jeff, anything you want to add on any of those athletes for El Molino?
Just want to touch back and circle back to the rushing attack here. When you take a look at on the season right now, Jalen Hall, Lewis, and Ramalia, they're all averaging over 5 yards a carry, and it's just easy to chew. We're right thereabouts, Ramalia at 4.8. But it's much easier to move to control the ball, control the clock, when you're just constantly chewing up yards on the ground like that. And I'm going to be wanting to see how Piner's going to respond to that, as Piner's coming out in some special throwback What are we gonna call these jerseys? Oreo jerseys?
Black tops,
white pants, and the maroon helmets. We'll see what the special occasion is for. They're gonna need a special effort to stop this El Molino rushing attack.
I'm glad you go ahead, Mike.
I was gonna say, last year in the Egg Bowl, Petaluma came out with some all black unis, and the game didn't turn out quite right for the Trojans. I hope this isn't an old jinx here with the uniforms, and Piner suddenly loses their undefeated season. You know how superstitious people can get, so we'll see what happens.
Well, I talked to Terrence Bell, and he kind of let the cat out of the hat with me a couple days ago, and he said, Nick, Piner's never worn black jerseys in the history of the school, but tonight the boys wanted to, and so they're going to sport these new black uniforms on homecoming night. They're also wearing the logo that he made on the helmet, so that's pretty cool. And one other thing I wanted to add is, you know, the jerseys that they've been wearing all season long, those jerseys are the jerseys that the team wore in 2004 when they last won the league title. So Terrence is really into the history of this school. He's a graduate himself, and he's doing a great job of trying to turn the culture around here. And it's so enjoyable to talk to him.
Oh, yes.
Everything they're doing with the halftime, at school during the lunch period, they have the boys there teaching about recycling. And
I think what really sticks out to me, and I enjoy thoroughly, is the competition that you get on a week-to-week basis in practice. Now, he said in our post-game interview with him 2 weeks ago that, for the most part, the same, like, 11 to 12 kids usually dress up on a week-to-week basis, but you have about that 7 to 9 extra slots where kids are competing, and it's just, hey, the sophomore could take the senior spot this week if it works better in the game plan, and it just keeps the kids on their toes. They're always going to keep working hard. They're always going to keep pushing forward, and, you know, this is paying off dividends. You could see this with the 7-0 season, and just how much they're stomping on their opponents on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, and I love that. Every spot's available every week, and that's how it should be. There's 11 spots available on offense, 11 on defense, and 11 on special teams. So if you want to get in the game, you better outwork the guy that's in front of you, or else you're not seeing the field. I love that he's taking that approach.
That depth chart has to be filled out at the end of the day.
And it's showing. Their team is 7-0. The practices are as hard as the games. A couple more names I want to throw out for El Molino before we take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about Piner. In our game against Stanley, we saw their wonderful middle linebacker, Coleman Hayes. This guy is a player to watch. He's a senior, 6 foot, 185 pounds, leads the team in tackles. And then last week's game against Santa Rosa, he had 23 tackles. And El Molino really struggled against Santa Rosa. There was a senior running back for the Panthers, Mason Frost, that had 27 carries for 439 yards last week and 6 touchdowns. And Coach Randy Parmeter said, Nick, you know, we learned a lot out of that game. We just didn't keep our gap integrity, and when we watched it, that will not happen tonight. We're going to be much better on defense. So we're going to keep our eye out for Coleman Hayes. I'm sure you're going to be hearing his name quite a bit. Their other linebacker, Deddy Kushner, 6 foot, 160 pounds, and then Ben Gonzalez on the their right tackle. He also goes both ways on offense and defense. And we mentioned Dawson Drew is back. So those are the names I'm sure you're going to hear a lot about tonight. Why don't we take our first break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the 7-0 Piner Prospectors here at Piner High School. You're listening to KSRO, the Game of the Week, brought to you by Novato Chevrolet.
If you'd like to work with an honest car dealer, take the drive down the 101 to Novato Chevrolet. They have a sales team that'll treat you like family and a great selection of new and pre-owned vehicles. Novato Chevrolet works with many different lending institutions so they can serve experienced as well as first-time buyers, subprime credit, and even individual tax identification numbers. Let Novato Chevrolet help you find the right car at the right price. No hablas ingles? No hay problema. Sales consultant David Corral habla español. Novato Chevrolet, 7123 Redwood Boulevard in Novato. And save money with online discounts at NovatoChevrolet.com.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Brett Musburger. Please join me for play-by-play of every Raiders game on FM News Talk Radio KSRO 103.5 and 94.5.
Welcome back to Piner High School for the Game of the Week on KSRO. The Piner Prospectors are hosting the El Molino Lions. Prospectors come into the game 7-0. El Molino, 3 wins and 3 losses. We just got through breaking down the El Molino Lions, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Piner Prospectors. The Prospectors come in, as I mentioned, 7-0 with 6 shutouts. Last week, they demolished the Healdsburg Hounds. On the season, the Prospectors started out with a 55-0 win over Cloverdale, shutout Novato 53-0, shutout Sir Francis Drake 65-0, shutout Sonoma Valley 71-0. The only point scored on the season, 14 versus Miramonte, but they beat Miramonte 53-14. And then we were here on the Game of the Week a few weeks back, and they shut out Annalee 41-0, and then last week took care of the Hounds 60-0. 398-14, Jeff, so far in the total points on the season for the Prospectors. Their head coach, Terrence Bell, in his first year has done a fantastic job turning the culture around. And as we mentioned earlier, the Prospectors are wearing black jerseys for the first time in their school history. And Terrence is very excited about it. He also has developed a new logo, a new prospector that's on their helmets. Tonight is homecoming, and Terrence himself graduated from Piner in 2006, went on to play wide receiver for the University of Hawaii, and they ended up winning the conference that season, and he's sporting a pretty nice ring, guys. Did we get a chance to admire that last time we were here?
Took a look at it. It's a pretty decent-sized ring he's got there on his finger. It's something like you open up your freezer, take a look at one of those ice cubes from the ice maker, put that on your finger, and that's what's sitting on Coach's hand right there.
Oh, that's great. That's a perfect way. Well, when we start talking about Piner, we have to talk about their quarterback, Yonatan Isaac, 6'1", 160 pounds. Terrence says this guy is a competitor. He makes smart decisions. And get this, guys, 39 touchdown passes so far in the first 7 games of the season. And that not only leads our area here, it leads the nation.
Wow.
Yeah, there's no quarterback in high school football after 7 games that's thrown more touchdown passes than Yonatan. 39 touchdown passes. His favorite target is the junior, Isaac Torres. Isaac not only has caught 16 touchdown passes, but he also kicks extra points. Any field goal attempts they have, Isaac will be taking them. He's just a junior. His brother, running back number 24, is Adrian Torres, and Adrian's quite a stud, guys. We got a chance to see him up close and personal. He was one of the players of the game when we were here a couple weeks ago. He goes both ways, not only at running back, but he plays middle linebacker. What can you tell us about Adrian, Jeff?
Torres averages 9.3 yards a carry. He is not afraid of contact. He told us that in the post-game press conference, too, is that when he gets hit, it almost like it wakes him up. Like we were talking earlier with the boxing analogy, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth. That was a great Mike Tyson that told us that. And this kid's living by it. He's going to say, hey, you think you're going to take me down? Boom, here comes a pop. Now what? He's going to keep the legs moving. And you can see that by 9.3 yards a carry. 60 carries on the season, 557 yards, and 9 touchdowns. The kid's incredible.
Yeah. Well, Yonatan's got quite a few receivers, and one of the strategies that Terrence Bell likes to use is he likes to stretch the field, and he does it quite often during the game. He keeps some really fresh wide receivers in the game, and his strategy is to keep running his receivers long, and it wears down the defensive backs. They have to run long on play after play after play. They better be in good shape. And the other receivers that they count on are junior Michael Collins. Michael has 9 touchdowns on the season, and then wide receiver Jake Herman. He's caught 7 touchdowns. So look for the Piner prospectors to continue their strategy. They're going to keep throwing that ball down the field and stretching the defense. When we watched Anley and El Molino, I thought El Molino had a little trouble in their defensive secondary, and that may be their Achilles heel tonight. Jeff, why don't you tell us a little bit more about Piner prospectors here?
So the El Molino secondary is going to have their hands full. This is a wide receiving core that averages just under 17 yards a reception. So I'm going to be interested to see how this secondary lines up with the wide receivers that Piner has. And then on the flip side, you're going to see Piner's defense going after the El Molino rushing game. So it's going to be a little neat battle of matchups that we have here for each team.
Well, we got Michael went on and went down and talked to Coach Randy Parmeter, the El Molino coach. Why don't we go ahead and run that interview right now?
Michael Bearwald here with KSRO's Game of the Week presented by Novato Chevrolet from Piner High School. I'm here with El Molino head coach Randy Parmeter. Coach, tell me about how the week of practice went this week.
Yeah, it went well. I mean, all our guys are healthy, and so we're looking to put on a good game tonight.
So that's what I was going to ask. Everyone's healthy, no injuries. Everybody's good to go, huh?
Yep, everybody's good to go, no problems.
Talk about, obviously you're facing Piners. They're undefeated, 7-0. What's been the best thing you've seen on film about Piner?
They're pretty good everywhere. I mean, they run the ball well, although they don't do it often, and they throw the ball well. So I don't, and they play hard on defense. They got some good athletes out there, so I think they're pretty well rounded.
What are a few of those athletes? What can you name them? Who do you think really stands out for their team?
Yeah, I mean, their quarterback does a great job. He doesn't run much, but when he does, he's really effective. Their running back runs hard. He plays linebacker and he plays hard there too. And their outside receivers, both number one, number two, and number seven, they're all good athletes. And even their inside guys do a great job. So 33 is a good ball player. So their D line's great. Their O line does a good job. So yeah.
Who are going to be the key guys for you to help potentially stop this undefeated season? Who's going to be big for you guys, both on offense and defense?
I think it's going to be a team effort. I think we got to stop them on defense. We got to stop them and make them drive the length of the field without any big plays. And I think offensively, we just got to be consistent with what we've done all year long, and it should work out.
All the talk in this area has been Piner, Piner, Piner. They're 7-0. They've only allowed 14 points all year long. And you guys are obviously underdogs. Do you guys relish in that role? How have your kids reacted to that?
We just try to play the same way every week, and that's, play as hard as we can with great effort and execute our assignments. So, I mean, we approach every game exactly the same regardless of who we're playing.
All right, Coach, thank you. Appreciate it. I'll see you at halftime.
All right.
That's Michael Bearwell on the field for the KSRO Game of the Week presented by Novato Chevrolet. Back to Nick and Jeff up in the booth.
Well done, Michael Bearwell. Each week, Michael does a very good job of getting the answers out of the coaches. And, again, I mentioned earlier that I think the game's going to be won and lost, and Michael always likes to bring that up about in the trenches. And when you're looking at Piner, they have some very strong two-way players led by their senior, number 77, Raphael Madden. His nickname is Fiji, 6'3", 250 pounds. And I thought this was interesting, guys. There, number 69 is a sophomore. His name is Diego Martinez. And interestingly enough, his nickname is 6'4". They called him that when he was a freshman, but he's a sophomore now and he grew 3 inches. So he's about 6'6 or 6'7 right now. And he is definitely a man amongst boys out there. Not only does he stand out because he's so big, but did a good job of wearing down the other team. And so we're going to keep our eyes on the line. Michael, that's going to be your assignment to give us your thoughts after the first quarter of who is winning the Battle of the Trenches. Let's go ahead and get Michael's interview now with Coach Terrence Bell.
All right, I'm here on the field with Piner head coach Terrence Bell for the KSRO Game of the Week from Piner High School. Coach, tell me how the week of practice has gone preparing for the Lions.
I think the week went really well. You know, I think football has escaped for our guys, and they've been able to focus throughout the weekend. So, I mean, that's going to be our biggest test, I think, is just to deal with the distractions of senior night and homecoming being on this night and overcoming those emotions. So they should be fine, I think, though.
What has stood out for you watching El Molino? I don't know if you've seen him in person, but of course seeing him on film. What has stood out to you about them so far this year?
Just watching them on film, I like their toughness. You know, I think that they're tough, and that's the brand that they want to continue. I respect this team, and there's no way that we're looking over them. And I think that our athletes, if we get them a chance to get them in space, we'll really get the chance to see them do some special things tonight.
Coach, everybody healthy? Any injuries? Or if there are, who is out and who will be replacing them?
Yeah, so we have Alex Vanderberg, our starting tackle, is out, and Isaac Kim will replace him. And then we have our guard will be out. And we're going to put Donovan in to replace him.
How confident are you in those guys being able to step up and keep your offense at the same rate you've been going all season long?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. I think that they're gonna do a great job, and that's the only thing we could ask them to do. They know the details. You just got to come out there and execute it.
Coach, I'm sure you've been asked this before, the outscoring your opponents as high as you do. Do you regret at all any of, you know, kind of assumptions that you've run up the score or anything like that, or you think that's just all talk?
Yeah, I think it's just all talk, you know, and I think that's the safest way to play the game. You don't look at the score. No, you can't win a football game by looking at the score. And that's just the simplest way to put it. You can only win a football game by one play at a time, just focusing on that play and executing it.
And then obviously you got El Molino tonight, and then you have two more league games remaining, both on the road. If you're able to win tonight, you'd be 8-0, two more away from an undefeated season. What does that mean to you, your coaching staff, your players, and this Piner High School community to go undefeated?
If we can make that happen, I think it would be pretty special for the Piner community, man. I think it's been a long time coming for them, and I think that they waited their turns, and I really appreciate them just having patience for us. So I'm super excited, and if it happens, these people 110% deserve it, and so do the boys.
Coach, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well done, Michael Faribault. Love Michael's interviews, Jeff. I think he does a good job of getting some really important answers out of the coaches. And we're getting ready for the kickoff here. The Piner Prospectors, 7-0, taking on the El Molino Lions. Piner's going to be wearing white uniforms tonight, white pants tonight with their black jerseys. The first time in the history of Piner that they've ever worn black jerseys. El Molino's going to be in all white uniforms with red numbers on their jerseys and their black helmets. We're getting ready for the kickoff here. Tonight's officials for the game, the head referee will be Sean Lent, back judge Simon Terrell, home sideline judge Spencer Crum, the visiting sideline judge Brian Wills, and the umpire for tonight's game, Lance Phillips. And if you would like to be an official, all the sports need officials. We need to keep you. Teams cannot play any games without officials. So if you want to stay involved in sports and make a little money on the side, then become an official.
And hand up, I have been fairly critical of officiating this year. I think that's safe to say. Fairly critical might be putting it lightly. But I would like to say the past two games, the officiating, it's gotten better. Okay, it was almost like the officials needed some time to get back into action, you know? So, again, they'll take volunteers. Anybody that wants to step forward, you can get paid for it. We need all the officials we can get. Some of these guys, though, they are getting a little old, so we will take a new crop.
Very good, Jeff. I'm glad you said that. We need officials, whether they're good or bad. We cannot play a game without one. So El Molino's going to kick off tonight. going from our left to right. The Piner Prospectors will get the opening kick. Cole Vanstone gets his foot into it. It's driven down the field. It's going to be taken at the 8-yard line. Isaac Torres brings it up the sideline. He's got a little hole, and he's blasted out of bounds right at the 34-yard line. First and 10, Piner Prospectors. As the nation's leading quarterback, Yonatan Isaac, takes the field.
And again, as we talked pregame, this kid can get it done through the air. I thought what was interesting with the interview that we did with Bell last week, or 2 weeks ago, excuse me, was he says that he's a little hesitant at times, right? As calm and poised as he looks back there in the pocket, there are times when he looks and goes back and looks at film and says he's hesitating. He's making too many last-minute second guesses of himself. He needs to just go.
Isaac in the shotgun, three receivers left, one receiver right. He's got his halfback, Adrian Torres, right behind him. Takes the snap, fakes the handoff, comes up the middle. El Molino trying to stop him, but he gets the corner, and he's going down the sideline. And he's not pushed out of bounds until he gets down to the El Molino 39-yard line. Isaac came around that corner, got a nice block by number one, Isaac Torres, and was pushed out of bounds not till he gained 30 yards on the play.
A fantastic job by Isaac, even making the business decision there at the end to step out of bounds because he knew that he had chewed up all the real estate that he could right there. And now Piner's looking fresh set of downs, sitting at the El Molino 40-yard line, and they can open up the playbook from here, get real creative.
Yonatan brings the team up to the line of scrimmage. Three receivers right, one receiver left this time. Adrian Torres in the backfield with Yonatan. He takes the snap, looks quickly, throws out in the flat. El Molino tackler Coleman Hayes comes up, misses a tackle, but Hayes gets up and makes the tackle from behind. Excellent job, but not until 5 yards gained.
Hayes,
Jake Herman made the catch.
Hayes and Sol Berna there coming up together to make the stop. A real quick pop screen there to Herman. Was that good for about 6 yards there for Piner?
Loved how Coleman Hayes tried to make the tackle right at the line of scrimmage, got up and came from behind and tackled Jake Herman. Brings up a second down and 5, and we're going to get a timeout called on the field by El Molino. You're listening to the Game of the Week on KSRO, brought to you by Novato Chevrolet.
Backyard Chefs, Buck Stoves, Pools, and Spas is your Big Green Egg headquarters. With the Big Green Egg Kamado Barbecue, you can bake a pizza in 3 minutes or a perfect char on a steak at 600 degrees. Serious grillers can do ribs for 5 to 8 hours for that fall-off-the-bone goodness. Check out our holiday specials at buckstoves.net or visit us at 225 West College Avenue in Santa Rosa. The Big Green Egg at buckstoves.net.
This is Sonoma County's News Talk, K23 3CM Petaluma, K27 HCD, KSRO Santa Rosa.
Welcome back to Piner High School. I'm Nick Mattis along with Jeff Woodworth. You're listening to the Game of the Week on KSRO. The Piner Prospectors, 7-0, took the opening kickoff and are driving down the field. They have a second down and 4 yards, the football at the El Molino 34-yard line. Their quarterback, Yonatan Isaac, looking over the defense. Now he steps back into the shotgun. Two receivers right, two receivers left. Adrian Torres now gets the ball. He comes straight up the middle, and he's going to be stopped by middle linebacker Coleman Hayes, short of the first down.
And again, like you said in the pregame, Coleman Hayes is just one of those guys that's going to find the football on every snap. He sticks his nose in there. Again, he's not afraid of contact. Torres isn't afraid of contact. What happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object?
I love watching it, that's for sure. Third down and 1. Piner over the football. Right at the El Molino 31-yard line. The snap again. There's going to be a false start on Piner. It looks like they may have taken off. Let's see what the call is.
Our home sideline judge on the false start call there. And you mentioned his name earlier. I knew it sounded familiar. That is former Sonoma County Sergeant Spencer Crum. So luckily he's retired. Otherwise I'd have to watch what I'm saying about these officials. You know what I'm saying here, Nick?
That's great, Jeff. That's the star of the show right there, Jeff Woodworth. Love working with him. That's going to push Piner back now 5 yards. Going to bring up a 3rd down and 6. The football has been placed at the El Molino 36-yard line. Isaac, the quarterback, in the shotgun. Adrian Torres to his left. takes the snap. Now he wants to throw. He's going to throw long down the sideline, throws it up in the air, and caught and stepping out of bounds. Michael Collins went up high over everyone in the secondary for El Molino and caught the pass, and he's going to be pushed out of bounds inside the 10-yard line.
Alexander Kahn and Jackson Dunkel for El Molino, they're guarding him on the play too, but it looks like both kids went for the interception when you should have just swatted that ball away, and that allowed Collins to come down with it, and he gets the feet down, the toe tap. You only need one in high school and college, but he got two in.
I agree with you there. There again, the secondary made a mistake there. They should have tried to go for it should have pushed him out of bounds. But first down and 10 here for the Piner Prospectors. The snap's high. Yonatan gets it, though. He weaves his way up the middle, and he's tackled inside the 5-yard line. Let's place it at the 3.
Number 2, Jalen Hall, able to take his legs out from underneath him there, preventing the touchdown on the play.
Second down and goal. The football at El Molino's 3-yard line. The Piner Prospectors have taken the opening kickoff and have driven right down the field. 10 minutes remaining here in quarter number one. Yonatan in the shotgun. Two receivers left, two receivers right. Adrian Torres to his right. Now he's going to pass. He lobs it to the end zone, and it's caught for a touchdown. Isaac Torres with his 17th touchdown reception of the season. And the Piner Prospectors have struck for gold on their first opportunity with the football.
Number 4, Cole Van Stone, playing a great defense there for the Lions. There's nothing you could do. You just got out-competed for the ball there against Collins there on the play. And a beautiful pass there from Yonatan Isaac.
Isaac Torres, 6'1", timed his jump perfectly and went up, and at the apex of his jump, got the football. Torres now lining up for the field goal. Isaac the holder. The snap is good. The hold is good. And the kick is right down the middle.
Nothing like putting the period on your own touchdown sentence there, huh, Nick?
Absolutely. Isaac Torres hits the extra point, and the Piner Prospectors have jumped off to a 7-0 lead. You're listening to the Game of the Week on KSRO, presented by Novato Chevrolet.
Le Coco's voted North Bay's best Italian restaurant 5 years straight. Italian-born and New York-raised, Joe Le Coco offers an authentic, rustic-style cuisine. Fresh, simple, and local ingredients provide a Northern California accent. Open Tuesday through Sunday for lunch and dinner. Located in the heart of Santa Rosa at 117 4th Street. Call them at 523-2227. Le Coco's Cucina Rustica. Enjoy a meal at Northern California's best Italian restaurant.
Petaluma hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 94.5.
Welcome back to Piner High School. Thanks for joining us on the Game of the Week here on KSRO. The Piner Prospectors, 7-0, took the opening kickoff, drove 60 yards, and it was a touchdown pass from Isaac to Isaac Torres for a 3-yard touchdown pass for the score. The kickoff is a low, grinding kick taken at the 25-yard line and downed immediately. Jalen Hall and the El Molino Lions will come onto the field for their first possession of the game, led by their quarterback, junior Weston Lewis.
And hats off to the El Molino defense here right away. Even though they did let up that score, it's 9:51 left in the game. If you remember 2 weeks ago when we were here, Piner had already scored twice within the first 2.5 minutes of the game. So El Molino pacing themselves good on defense. Now let's see what their offense can do.
Weston Lewis, the junior quarterback, in behind the shotgun, hands the ball off to Jalen Hall. The running back comes up the middle, and Jalen Hall finds a hole on the left side. Finally tackled right at the El Molino 34-yard line. A gain of 8 yards. Second down and 2.
And this is what El Molino wants to do. They want to be able to pound the rock play after play after play. Keep chewing up yards, 6-7 yards at a time. It also keeps that clock running, which means that the Piner offense stays off the field.
And we're going to get a timeout, Piner. El Molino lined quickly up over the football, and the Piner coach, Terrence Hall, took a timeout. You're listening to the Game of the Week on KSRO, brought to you by Novato Chevrolet.
Willowside Meats on Guerneville Road in Santa Rosa offers the highest quality lamb, pork, chicken, and aged beef, as well as 25 different varieties of nitrate and nitrite-free sausage and jerky. Willowside Meats specializes in custom cutting, curing, smoking, and wild game processing. Also offering custom-made sausages from your wild game, they're open Tuesday through Friday 8 to 5 and Saturday 8 to 4. Call 707-546-8404. 546-8404. Willowside Meats in Santa Rosa since 1969.
Traffic on the fives, weather six times an hour. Sonoma County's morning news with Pat Kerrigan on FM News Talk, KSRO.
You're different, so your truck should
be playing too. Welcome back to Piner High School. The Piner Prospectors leading the El Molino Lions 7-0. 9 minutes, 26 seconds remaining here in quarter number one. El Molino with the football, second down and two. The football at their own 34-yard line. Two receivers right, one receiver left. Halfback Jalen Hall right behind Weston Lewis. Now he shifts to the left. Lewis gets the snap, pitches it quickly to Jalen Hall. He comes up midfield, and he's got a first down, and he's gained seven more yards after the first down, and he's brought down at the 42-yard line, first and 10 Lions.
Now, I can tell you right now, Terrence Hall is not going to like this, and he's not going to let this fly from his defense. That is back-to-back running plays there for El Molino, and I believe for an average of about 8 yards on each carry.
Weston Lewis took it, started to go to the left, quickly pitched it out to Jalen Hall, who found the edge and gained 10 yards on the play. First and 10 Lions, the football at their own 42, trailing 7-0. Again, the ball snapped to Weston Lewis. He fakes the handoff, comes straight up the middle, and he's downed after 1 yard loss, 1 yard gain.
Number 33, Jacob Herman right there, was there to sniff out the RPO. The fake handoff went to Hall. Lewis kept it, started to head upfield, and was right there to meet him.
I believe Piner's going to key on Weston Lewis. Weston had a big game last week against the Panthers, 237 yards rushing. Second down and nine. Ball on the Lions' 43-yard line. Trailing 7-0, 8 minutes and 15 seconds. The snap is good. Weston throws it out in the flat, and the ball is complete. Dawson Drew with the catch, and he's ran out of bounds, but not till he gets right at the first down marker. They're going to put it just short. It's going to bring up a third down and one, and El Molino quickly up over the football. Weston Lewis comes up under center. Now he's going to drop back. Tried to get Piner to jump off sides, and Piner was very disciplined. Lewis steps back, two receivers right, one receiver left, moves his halfback Jalen Hall to the right, and hands it to Jalen Hall, and he's up the middle, and he's going to get right at the first down marker. Let's see where they spot it.
And they're going to hold him to a fourth down. Piner's in what? Our listeners at home might remember from the 85 Chicago Bears running a 4-6 there on defense. And I know that's ahead of my time, but as a student of the game, I've been able to watch some film, so I know. And
Lewis comes up quickly under center, gets a snap, and it's a quarterback sneak, and like he's got the first down.
Very sneaky there by El Molino.
Diego Martinez getting up from the bottom of the pile. First and 10 Lions. The football placed at the Piner 46-yard line. El Molino trailing 7-0 in the first quarter as the Prospectors took the opening kickoff, drove 60 yards for striking gold on a 3-yard pass from Yonatan Isaac, his 40th touchdown pass of the season. The snap goes to Weston Lewis. He hands it up the middle and trying to find a hole, but he's stopped after a short gain is Jalen Hall.
And he is stuffed by number 52, Isaac Kim, filling in that role there for Vandenberg, who's out. But Kim, another one who can get his nose in there and just finds a football on every single down.
Second down and nine. The football just on the 45-yard line of the Piner Prospectors. Weston Lewis in the shotgun shifts. Jalen Hall is halfback to the left. Weston gets the handoff, hands it to Jalen Hall. He's trying to get around the right side. He does find a hole. And he's fighting his way up close to the first down marker. He will be short, and it will bring up a third down and three. The football will be placed at the Piner It looks like a penalty.
I thought the flag fell out of the official's pocket there, but it looks like Sergeant Crum is calling a, or formerly Sergeant Crum, is calling a holding on the offense.
Little bit of confusion on the field as El Molino was starting to line up over the football, but you are precisely right, Jeff. And that's going to push it back 10 yards and place the ball at the 50.
With 6:36 and counting left in the, or counting down left in this first quarter, I will credit the El Molino offense for doing a great job. They're just chipping away at this Piner defense.
I'm wondering why the clock didn't stop on that penalty while they placed the football. Ball's going to be at the 50-yard line. It's going to make it second down and 14. Weston gets the snap. Now he wants to throw. He looks out in the left side. The ball's going to be batted up in the air and intercepted. Coming over was Michael Collins.
It looked like Isaac Torres was going to come up with it there, but as he was falling down, tipped the ball up into the air, and Michael Collins was able to come and snatch it up. And there you go. Just all the momentum that El Molino was building up there is now for naught. And Piner takes over at about the 35-yard line.
Weston Lewis looking to the left sideline, underthrew the receiver. The ball got batted up into the air, and Johnny on the spot, or I should say Michael on the spot, was Michael Collins, came over for the interception. Piner will take over the football right at their own 35-yard line, leading 7-0, just under 6 minutes remaining here in quarter number one. Isaac gets the snap. He's looking out to the left, throws out to the left, and it's complete to Jake Herman, and he's pushed out of bounds.
Number one, Ryan Palmer, able to push him out of bounds, but Palmer's got to do a better job of sticking and hugging his hip there on those routes. Otherwise, that's going to be open all game for Herman.
Penalty marker thrown by the sideline judge, Brian Wills, and it's going to be against Piner, so that's going to negate that gain. Let's see what the call is here. Sean Lint. It's going to be offensive pass interference, it appears, against Piner. It's going to push them back. And it's a substantial penalty as the ball's going to be placed back at their own 20-yard line.
A 15-yard offensive pass interference call, huh?
Maybe that wasn't the right. Looked like he was pushing off.
Was that hands to the face?
There you go.
Still unclear on the actual call. Sorry to the.
It's going to make it first down and 25. Piner's going to need to get to their own 45 for a first down. Isaac takes the snap, throws quickly out to Isaac Torres, and another penalty marker flown in there as Torres is pushed out of bounds at the 30-yard line. But let's wait and see what the flag is about. Isaac quickly got the ball out to Torres, who made a couple of nice moves as he eluded tacklers. Again, the exact same call.
They're going to get Herman again for offensive pass interference. Pushing off of the defender there. Now, Herman is a little bit bigger than number one, Ryan Palmer, so maybe that's just a matchup issue where Piner needs to get him on somebody else.
We'll keep an eye on it. Maybe Herman's going downfield, and I haven't noticed. Maybe he's going downfield and making contact with Palmer, getting himself a little bit of space, and then turning around. So we'll keep an eye on this. It's been called two times in a row. Piner's going to get pushed back, and again, they're, now it's going to be first and 35. The football's been placed right at their 10-yard line. First and 10, Piner leading 7-0. 5 minutes and 20 seconds remaining in quarter number one. Isaac with the snap. He's going to hand it up the middle, and here comes Adrian Torres, and he's stopped.
Number 50, Coleman Hayes, right there to help bring him down, along with number one, Ryan Palmer.
Second down. We'll give him a gain of 5 on it. Second down and 30. The ball right at the Prospectors' 15-yard line. They need to get to their 45 for a first down. Leading 7-0 as they took the opening drive and drove 60 yards for a touchdown.
Now, Nick, you'd hate to see a wasted opportunity like this where your defense comes up big, but the penalties have just ruined it for you. I wouldn't be surprised if they keep it up conservative.
Isaac takes a snap and another penalty. It looks like a false start. A little bit sloppy here in the early going.
Encroachment on the defense. They're going to get a couple extra yards here. But yes, a very undisciplined first quarter by either team. Just as of late here in the past couple minutes with the flags flying out. I'm going to let you put on your offensive coordinator hat here, Nick. You're facing a second and 21. What are you thinking right here? I don't know if you have to go nearly as conservative as you were 5 yards ago.
I'm going to keep doing what I do if I'm Piner, and that's throw the ball long to my athletic receivers. Isaac's got 40 touchdown passes on the season, gets the snap. Now he's looking long, and he throws it down the left sideline, and it looks like there's going to be a pass interference.
A blatant pass interference. Number 12, Ethan Ransom, was holding on to number 1, Isaac Torres, for Ransom. Going to make Crum put the badge back on and take you out there. He was all over him.
An easy call for Spencer Crum. As Torres was breaking down the sideline, El Molino had two defenders on him, but they just got tangled up, and that's going to be called every time. And there's the recipe for success for the Piner prospectors, as they like to throw the ball long to their athletic receivers, wearing down the defensive backs of their opponents. Time and time again, they like to stretch the field. That's going to give them a second down and 9. The football's been placed at their own 35-yard line.
And essentially a free down here for Piner.
Isaac in the shotgun. Adrian Torres to his left. He's got two receivers right and two receivers left. Looking over the Lions defense, he shifts Adrian to his right. Now he looks to pass. He's got plenty of time. Now the time's breaking down. He rolls to his right, and coming up and making a beautiful rolling tackle was Cole Van Stone.
Although, give it the credit there to number 54, Anthony Pacheco, in pursuit that forced him out to the sideline, and that allowed Van Stone to come up and make that stop there for the El Molino Lions.
You're exactly right. He forced Yonatan out of the pocket, and Yonatan Isaac rolled to his right, but a wonderful tackle by Cole Van Stone cut the legs out from Isaac, and he went down after losing 6 yards on the play. It's going to force a third down and 16 yards. The football right at the Piner 38-yard line. Isaac in the shotgun takes the snap. Now he looks, throws over the middle to wide open Jake Herman. He's caught, and he's got the first down as he falls forward just over midfield.
Number 28, Sol Berna there helping bring him down. But, I mean, just a breakdown in El Molino's pass defense there. Herman was wide open and able to collect up those 17 yards and more on the play.
Herman running a skinny post was wide open, as you mentioned, Jeff, in the middle of the Lions defense. First and 10 prospectors, the football at the Elmo 49. Isaac throwing long down the right sideline and intercepted by Cole Van Stone. Stone comes up the left sideline, and he's going to be pushed out of bounds. Excuse me, the interception was by Jackson Dunkel.
Dunkel doing a great job sitting back in the secondary right there, able to just jump up, grab the ball at its apex, and bring it back across midfield. And just like that, El Molino's got the momentum on their side.
Much better job by the defensive backs for El Molino as Dunkel watched the football, timed his jump perfectly, and made the interception. On the return, there's a penalty against El Molino. They're going to have the football.
Would appear to be an unsportsmanlike conduct, probably some taunting there after the interception. Big play is no excuse to lose your composure in a situation like that, though, Nick.
The officials very active early in this game. It's going to kick El Molino back as they place the football at the El Molino 14-yard line as they take over. 2 minutes, 49 seconds remaining in quarter number one, trailing the Piner prospectors 7-0. Weston Lewis, the quarterback for El Molino in the shotgun, looking over for signals from Randy Parmeter. Now he's got the signal, he relaying it to his team. Two receivers right, two receivers left. Jalen Hall, the halfback, gets shifted to the left. Lewis takes the handoff, fakes it up the middle, fakes the handoff, comes up the middle, finds a big hole, breaks a couple of tackles, and he's finally brought down after a 15-yard gain.
He's brought down from behind by Herman, and Herman on the play actually going for the strip there, so Lewis is going to have to do a better job of holding on to that football as he continues to move the ball down the field. Again, a dual threat at that quarterback position, the heart and soul of this El Molino offense. If they're going to get anything going here with 2:25 and change counting down, it's going to be with him.
Lewis with the 15-yard gain, first and 10 Lions, the football at their own 30. Lewis shifts Jalen Hall to the left, gets the snap, rolls to his left. Piner's defense stops him for a 2-yard loss, and the football's on the ground. Let's see who's got it as they get up. And the Piner Prospectors have recovered the football at the El Molino 27-yard line.
Now, unfortunately, word did not get down from the booth to the field fast enough there, Nick. And Weston Lewis turning the ball over for El Molino. It's just going to be tough to get anything going if you can't hold on to the football.
That's why you're the star of the show, Jeff. You were telling Weston to hold on to that football on the play before, and on the next play, he fumbles. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
The Prospectors strike gold right here, setting up at their own at El Molino's 26.
The snap to Yonatani, throws quickly out in the flat to Jake Herman, who gets it, and El Molino's defense does a great job of stopping him after a short gain. Second down and 9, the football will be placed at the El Molino 32-yard line.
Now, we know that Isaac can air it out downfield. We've seen him try a couple times this game. He's been successful. But it seems right now Piner's offense is kind of satisfied with the whole death by a thousand paper cuts here with the dump-offs for 4 or 5 yards at a time here.
Yes, right now they're playing a little conservative, leading 7-0, 1 minute and 20 seconds remaining in quarter number 1. Isaac, the quarterback in the shotgun, takes the snap, hands it up the middle to Adrian Torres, who finds a big hole, and he's got a first down, and he's finally brought down at the El Molino 15-yard line.
Again, there's nothing you can really do once Torres gets going, like we said, and from that interview 2 weeks ago. First contact, and that just wakes him up, and he keeps going. It's going to take multiple lines to bring him down every time he touches the ball.
Isaac Kim did a nice job of opening a hole. And big Diego Martinez, the left side of the Prospectors' line, as Torres came quickly through the line with open space before he was brought down. First and 10 Prospectors. Again, Torres coming up the middle. Again, he finds a hole. And he's fighting inside the 10-yard line. Second down and 4. Adrian Torres is running like a man possessed tonight. We saw that last week with Shane Moran.
And you've really got to credit the offensive line here, especially the left side of that line. Number 69, Diego Martinez, and number 58, Isaac Kim. They're filling in for Vandenberg and McLeod, who are out right there with this game, and they're doing a fantastic job of plugging that gap, allowing Torres to get the room he needs, to take that ball to the next level.
And that's going to do it for quarter number 1. The Piner Prospectors leading the El Molino Lions. You're listening to the Game of the Week on KSRO, brought to you by Novato Chevrolet.
If you'd like to work with an honest car dealer, take the drive down the 101 to Novato Chevrolet. They have a sales team that'll treat you like family and a great selection of new and pre-owned vehicles. Novato Chevrolet works with many different lending institutions so they can serve experienced as well as first-time buyers, subprime credit, and even individual tax identification numbers. Let Novato Chevrolet help you find the right car at the right price. No hablas ingles? No hay problema. Sales consultant David Corral habla español. Novato Chevrolet, 7123 Redwood Boulevard in Novato. And save money with online discounts at NovatoChevrolet.com.